Okay, this morning, Beech Grove, let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 4. Romans, the sixth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, chapter 4. And I am going to read verses 1 through 8 here to us. And again, I'll be reading out of my NIV. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. God's word says this in verses 1 through 8. What then shall we say? That Abraham, our forefather... What then shall we say? That Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, what great words. That we are made righteous, not by what we do, but what we believe. Father, this morning let this scripture just sink into each and every one of us. And also I pray, Lord, that anybody who hears this message, be it within the sanctuary or over the internet, I pray that they will find the true salvation that is not found in a works righteousness, but is found in belief in the Savior. I'll preach what you ask me to preach here, Lord. I hide behind a cross. I will plant. I will water. But Father, I just ask that you will make it all grow. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today we continue in this sermon series on Catholicism. It is not my intentions in the series to condemn or to insult anyone who is part of Catholicism or in any way to bash the Catholic religion. My intentions in this series are to provide you with Roman Catholic doctrine and dogma and compare that with sound Bible teaching. I'm convinced there is nothing more loving than the truth. And over the next several weeks, what I say in love to all who may hear these messages. Today we're going to continue to focus on justification. What is justification? It means to make something right. In the spiritual sense, it means getting right with God. Today we would say that we are saved, or we are born again, or we have eternal life. Remember, our sins have broken our relationship with God, and that relationship must be reconciled or justified back with God, but only if we want to spend eternity with Him in heaven. There's no one forcing anybody to restore that relationship. Would you like to spend eternity in heaven? If so, that relationship must be restored. And there is a right way, the biblical way, to do this, and there is a wrong way to try to do this, and that would be man's way of trying to accomplish this. Well, the Protestant, the biblical view, is that justification occurs purely by faith alone. It is a one-time event that happens instantaneously upon conversion, and it is in no way, shape, or form earned. And it comes solely through our faith in Jesus Christ. A very simple gospel message. Justification, I gave these 6 points last week, and I'll cover them real quick. Justification is through Jesus. He is the only way. Every sin that we have committed, past, present, future, has been forgiven. This is not earned. We cannot earn our justification in any way. Our faith profession is with our mouth, but it comes from our heart and is not an act of the mind only. This faith restores our relationship with God. We are now reconciled or justified back to the Father. It is God who justifies. We do not, cannot justify ourselves. The only contribution we make to our justification is our faith in what's already been done. So what do Catholics believe about justification? How does a Catholic believe they get saved? Now remember, what I'm about to tell you comes from Catholic doctrine and dogma. And it's amazing how much it parallels what I remember being taught as I was growing up in that religion. In Catholicism, justification is a process, and it's a four-step process. Step number one and two, we covered these last week. Step number one was called initial justification. The Catholics believe that the stain of this thing called original sin, which all people are born with, must be cleansed. And that cleansing comes through baptism. So upon this initial justification, a person baptized in the Catholic Church has been made right with Jesus Christ, according to their teaching. That's step one. You must be baptized in the Catholic Church. Step number two is called progressive justification. Progressive justification is how you grow in this righteousness. Catholics believe that a person increases in righteousness or justification as they remain obedient to God's commands. So let me sum up real quickly these first two steps. It is a process, and it's not a one-time event. It's a process, and it keeps on going on. One must be baptized in the Catholic Church to remove the stain of original sin, and then, at that point, start being obedient to the commandments of God to further merit justification within that justification process. Now, this morning, let's move on to steps 3 and 4 of this four-step process of how one gets saved, quote-unquote, in the Catholic Church. Step number 3 is called re-justification. Re-justification. It's returning to righteousness after committing a mortal sin. And I hope you were with us when I explained the difference between venial and mortal sins. Remember, mortal sins are those sins that are serious offenses and have the potential of sending that person to hell. Again, the Catholics will use the sins that are outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 as examples of mortal sins. Now, the EWTN.com website, EWTN, the Eternal Word Television Network.com, which is a Catholic-endorsed website, says this about re-justification. And I quote, because I want to make sure that this isn't Mike saying this, this is Catholic doctrine saying this. And I quote, "Chapter 15 establishes the conditions that must obtain if one is to lose one's justification, that is, one must commit mortal sin. A good catalog of mortal sins, especially explicitly identified as those which result in damnation, is found in 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, 'Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And the real possibility of a Christian committing mortal sin is indicated in numerous places, such as John 15:2, John 15:6, John 15:10, Romans 11:17 through 24. End quote. Now, what does all that mean? Well, let me sum this up so far before we move on to step number four. Catholics believe we are justified, saved, remember, through Catholic baptism, step number one. We progress in that justification as we continue to be obedient to God's commandments, step number two. But if we fail and commit a mortal sin, which is a very serious sin, as outlined on their list of sins, then my justification, this process has been nullified. I need to go to confession, back to the priest, confess my sins. He forgives me of my sins. I do the penance, and then I start back all over again with step number two and continue on and start the justification process all over again. What do Protestants believe about losing this salvation? Well, first of all, I told you it's a one-time event, right? We are saved. You are justified. It happened at some point in time. You came to Christ. You believe. You accepted Him as Lord and Savior. You are justified. Can we lose that salvation? And that's a great question. It depends on what church you go to and what teaching you hear and believe. And I've said it time and time and time again. I come from a Calvinist background. A true Christian cannot lose your salvation, because if you can, then what's all this about anyways? I can't believe that churches are preaching you can lose something that God has given you. I'm a little excited about the salvation that I have, that I know I cannot lose. John chapter 10, verses 28 says, the words of Jesus, He says this, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, "Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on until the day of Christ Jesus." It's what He started in me. I didn't start it in me. He started it in me. And if He started it, He will finish it. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 14 says this, "When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal of the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession, to the praise of His glory." Folks, you can believe whatever you want. What I got, I'm not going to lose. You can agree with me or you can disagree with me. You can leave a life that you never know from one minute to the next where you stand, or you can live a life like me who knows that I have joy because I know where my eternity lies. So, that's what we believe. That's what I teach in this church. You can go to some Arminian church and listen to something else and be miserable the rest of your life. Step number four in the Catholic process. Okay, step number one, I've been baptized. Step number two, I start obeying God's commands. Step number three, whoops, I messed up and committed a mortal sin. But now you go to step number four because I've gone to confession, done it all over again. Step number four, final justification. Step number four in the Catholic process. To a Catholic, this means finishing in righteousness. We perform good actions that God has promised to reward in the end. And this differs from step number two in the fact that step number two says this, "I am obedient to God's commandments." Step number four is different than that, because step number four is now I'm doing good works, such as are outlined in Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 and 36. Feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, inviting in a stranger, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, visiting those in prison. Catholics would call those things corporal works of mercy. They are works that I do to merit my justification. Again, let's get back to the EWTN website, and it says this. Excuse me. And I quote, "There is, therefore, a sense in which we seek after immortality by persistence in doing good. And it is a sense which will be rewarded, because in response for persistence in doing good, God gives eternal life on the last day. As a result, God has promised to give eternal life in response to good works or persistence in doing good." End quote. Catholics love, you know, they use the Bible, but they really don't need it. So they go to James chapter 2, verse 24, because they love this verse, which says this, that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. And then again in verse 26, that faith without works is dead. But this is yet another example of how some people put the cart before the horse. We do good works because we were created in advance to do them. We get saved, we do the good works. Catholics don't believe that. You do the good works so you can get saved. Protestants go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." How obvious is that? Then it goes on to say, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Protestants also go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, which says this, "Know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law." Key part of the verse. "Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified." In other words, if you break any part of it, you've broken it all. Either you do it all or you don't do any of it. Romans 3:28. "For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." And in Romans 4:2, I just read that this morning. "If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God." If my works contribute to my salvation, my justification, then I have something to boast about. And the Bible clearly says there is no boasting before God. If our works got us there, what would we be doing? We'd be sitting around in a circle, and Greg would be saying, "I got here because I did this." And then Cindy would be saying, "Well, I got here because I did this." And Gail would say, "Well, I am here because I did this." And then what would happen? We'd get into this big argument about how we got there, because he would try to outdo her, and she would try to outdo her, she would try to outdo me. There's no boasting before God, because all the work's already been done. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's review these four steps. One, Catholics believe we are justified. Actually, they believe we are saved through Catholic baptism. Number two, we progress in this justification by being obedient to God's commandments. Number three, if we fail and commit a mortal sin, a very serious sin, then our justification has been nullified and lost. We go back to step number two. And then number four, if we persist in doing good works, God has promised us eternal life. Do you hear a common thread in the Catholic view of the four steps of justification? If you missed it, let me point it out to you. My justification, if I am a Catholic, is based on what I do or what I do not do. I must get baptized. I must be obedient to God's commandments. If I lose it all, if I get too bad and commit a mortal sin, then I must go to confession and get back on track. then I must persist in doing good works. It's what I've been saying all along. Catholicism is a works-based system of justification and salvation, and that, my friends, is not what God's Word teaches. Sure, the Catholics will add that we must have faith in Jesus Christ in that mix, but it's only in cooperation with all those things that I have to do. Protestants keep it simple because Christ kept it simple. And Martin Luther found that out in 1522. Martin Luther, who was a Catholic priest, who was the father of the Protestant Reformation, was reading his Bible one day. He read Galatians, he read Ephesians, he read Romans, and came to the conclusion, wait a second, this organization that I'm a part of, Catholicism, we have this thing wrong. It's simple. I don't have to do this, do that, do this, do this. It's already been done. I just believe in what's and have faith and trust in what's already been done. So he started something called the Protestant Reformation. And that upset a lot of people in Rome. So they got together and they called a council in the city of Trent. And this council lasted 18 years. And the people in this council, all Catholics, said, we are not going to let these protesters, these defectors from our faith, start something new. So let's set down a whole bunch of laws and rules, and let's make sure that we define what we believe. So in the bottom of your bulletin on this side, there are three of the numerous canons that they come up with. I'm going to bore you and read them to you because it's important. They come up with this. Now remember, what are the Reformers saying? The Reformers are saying we are saved by grace through faith. Okay? Simple. Okay? The Catholics are saying, Canon number 9. If anyone says that a sinner is justified by faith alone, meaning that nothing else is required to cooperate in order to obtain the grace of justification, and that it is not in any way necessary that he be prepared and disposed by the action of his own will, let him be anathema. Okay, and you got to point your finger when you do it. Let him be anathema. Canon number 11. If anyone says that men are justified either by the sole imputation of the justice of Christ or by the sole remission of sins to the exclusion of the grace and the charity which is poured forth in their hearts by the Holy Ghost and remains in them, or also that the grace by which we are justified is only the good will of God, let him be anathema. Canon 12. If anyone says that justifying faith is nothing else than confidence in divine mercy, which remits sins for Christ's sake, or that it is this confidence alone that justifies us, let him be anathema. So, according to Catholic dogma and doctrine, and as I have written there, yeah, well, that was 500 years ago. Well, it's still in effect, my friends, okay? Remember, the Catholic Church is infallible. They can't change things. So, according to Catholic dogma, which we just read three of them there, if you have the Protestant view of justification, you are damned to hell. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. Because I don't believe them. I believe this. I prefer the biblical view of justification and what the Apostle Paul teaches in Galatians chapter 1 through 9. Remember in Galatians, the whole book of Galatians, people were coming in, false teachers, and saying, you got to be circumcised, you got to do this, you got to do this. And all of a sudden the Galatians were trying to live by the law and not by grace and by faith. So what does Paul say when he writes this letter? He hears that these things are happening, and he says this in Galatians 1:9. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach a gospel other than the ones that we preach to you, let them fall under the curse of God, or let them be anathema. You know what, us Protestants, we have our own Council of Trent, don't we? That if anybody comes in and teaches a gospel other than what Paul preached, Let them be accursed. Everybody's pointing fingers at everybody, aren't they? The only finger I point is at this book and say that if this isn't true, then we might as well all just go on home and watch basketball the rest of the afternoon. Because that's the only important thing in our life. One last important point. Can you tell sometimes that I have a little bit of joy in my life because I have the absolute assurance of my faith in Christ and in my salvation, that if he decides to take me right now, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. Amen? I hope you have that same joy of the assurance that you have. However, let's get back to the EWTN.com website, the Eternal Word Television Network, the Catholic-endorsed website. It says this, and I quote, "Here we are told that without special revelation, one should not claim to know with infallible certitude that one is among those predestined for eternal life. The reason, of course, is that none of the sources of faith single us out by name and tell us that we are for certain among those that God has chosen for himself. Instead, we must infer our predestination from the evidence with which we have been presented, and since human reason is fallible, we cannot know with infallible certainty what Trent calls the certainty of faith, that we are among the predestined. As mentioned before, many people think they are among the predestined when in fact they are not. Apart from special revelation, we have no infallible way of knowing that we are not among that group." End quote. I'll try not to jump up and down. I have joy in my life because I have assurance of my salvation. But the Catholics say it requires special revelation. Of course it does. Where did I get my special revelation? From the specially revealed book called God's Word, the Bible. Praise God, he revealed it to me within these pages. That's where I got it from. It's right here. It's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. What does Jesus say? Ask, seek, and knock, and it will be given to you. Catholics teach that you can never have assurance of your salvation. And I'd lived in that state for years and years, decades. And what a sad way to have to live your life, never knowing where you stand with your eternity, because you constantly wonder from one minute to the next, have I been obedient enough? Have I done enough good works? Have I committed a mortal sin? Have I confessed? And you go through this whole process of justification. And you never know. You never know. How sad to live this life and never know. We go through enough turmoil in our lives, don't we? We have job situations, like Donna mentioned. We have family situations, like Kim and Lee are going through. We have health situations, like we all go through. And these things are difficult situations for us, amen? If I didn't have the assurance of my salvation, I don't know if I could make it through those things. Amen. Are Catholics saved? I'll say this and I'll say it again. You are what you believe. Okay? You are what you believe. Do you believe in the Christ who did it all on the cross? Or do you believe in the Christ who needs your cooperation and your help in getting you to heaven? I assure you this, my friends. If Mike Gowan's salvation depended on my obedience and then my works and my cooperation, I will never get there. Because my works and my obedience and my cooperation, it just doesn't make it. but he made it for me. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. What we couldn't do for ourselves, he did for us. How simple is that? In Matthew chapter 11, I'll end with this. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus does not say, okay, he does not say, "Come to me, all of you who are obedient to my commands, and come to me, all of you who do all these good works." He doesn't say that, does he? He says this, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus knows that none of us can do it. And that's why he did it. No prerequisites. Come just as you are. Filthy and dirty and burdened down with obligation and with the guilt of sin. Because those are the kind of people Jesus loves to save. Not those who think they can do it themselves. It's unfortunate, very unfortunate, that many, if not most, Catholics are locked into a religious system. And this false teaching of justification is a part of that system. Why do they do it? Why do they believe it? Because that's what they're told to do. And they're going to be loyal to a system instead of loyal to the Word of God. Catholicism, when you are in it, don't question it. Catholicism, when you're in it, you don't challenge it. When you are in it, you don't deviate from it. And when you're in it, don't you dare step out of it. So next week, come on back. We're going to talk about the Pope. This will get even more interesting. Let's go to God in prayer.